whether you believe it or not, this is one of my most treasured possessions. I don't get the word as much as I would like. When my face was a lot fatter, it used to almost cut the blood supply off, but now I'm a wee bit skinnier, I get the word more. I don't chase Jenny or the kids around the house wearing it. Please don't be getting the wrong idea. But this reminds me of a wonderful trip back in 2004 when we went to America, and for one day we crossed over the border into Mexico and we went to Tijuana. Now, I was very excited about that because, as you know, I am a wrestling fan. And although America is very much the center of the wrestling universe, the Mexicans are good at it as well. They call it lucha libre down in Mexico. And everybody that wrestles in Mexico that's worth their salt wears a mask. All right? They wear a mask. And to lose your mask, to have this removed from your face, for people to see your real identity, well, that is a shameful thing. If you ever watch Lucha Libre, you know that in every match, there's usually a moment where one of the wrestlers tries to lift the mask off, and the crowd are going bananas because you can't lose your mask. You don't want the mystery to be revealed. Folks, at times I think when I'm preaching difficult sermons, maybe I should stick this on just to avoid all the flack. Maybe when we did the women elders sermon back in November, I should have worn this and let on that I was Jim Briggs or something, you know. But that's how it goes in Mexico. When it comes to lucha libre, you don't lose your mask. But I'm glad that the Bible is not like Mexican wrestling. I'm glad that the Bible, any mysteries that were there, have been revealed. Now, we do not know everything about God. We do not know A to Z about everything in all creation. There are still things which are of God and for God. As the Word tells us, the secret things are God's. But the mystery of salvation has been revealed in the pages of the Scriptures. The mystery of God's saving plan has been revealed in the pages of the Scriptures. The mask has been taken off. The curtains have been opened. It has all been revealed to us in glorious technicolor. And from Genesis through to Revelation, all the Scriptures point the same way to Jesus. Who is that mystery man? He is called Christ. And what has he done? He has come and he has died and he has risen and he is coming back for our sakes. Friends, the Bible tells us that story. It points in the same way. And along the path, along the road, it gives us little signposts and little pointers to the glory that is still to be revealed. And one of those is this individual called Melchizedek. Often, when it comes to Hebrews, maybe you read through these passages and you think, what's that all about? Who is Melchizedek? Who is that mystery man? Well, friends, it is not a big mystery anymore because, thanks be to God, his word makes it clear. And when we are reading about Melchizedek in the book of Genesis, when we see there a little glimpse of this strange figure in Genesis chapter 14. And then later, he is mentioned in Psalm 110, and we were going to sing that this morning, but time is against us. He comes about the odd time in the Old Testament. Then he is mentioned again in Hebrews. And you might think, well, what's this guy all about? He isn't mentioned like Moses. He doesn't have pages written about him like David. He's not one of the great prophets that we talk about like Elijah. Who is this mystery man? And Paul, for a few chapters now, has been busting to get into it. And if you remember last week, he starts by saying, I want to tell you about Melchizedek, but you've become dull of hearing. Finally, Paul, in chapter 7, gets to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, and what happened and what we can learn about him. Friends, the first time we come across him is in Genesis 14. Abraham is coming back from the defeat of the foreign kings. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, comes out and he brings Abraham bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, we're told. And he blessed him and he said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. And that's it. That's it. We don't hear him again until Psalm 110. And after that, we don't hear about him again until Hebrews chapter 7. And so the question for us is, what is the point of those Old Testament stories? Surely they can just be overlooked. What is the point of those few wee obscure verses? And what is the point now of the apostle telling us about Melchizedek and the priestly order of this strange figure? Well, the point is this. Everything about Melchizedek points us forward to Jesus. And I love the truth of this, folks, because even in these three verses in Genesis 14, we see the truth that there is no scripture wasted. There is no passage of scripture that is irrelevant. There is no passage of scripture that we can just flick over and say, do you know what? That doesn't matter. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is sufficient. And here in this wee passage, we see something about Christ in the person of this strange figure, Melchizedek. Who is he? Well, firstly, Paul says he is greater than Abraham. And imagine, folks, you are sitting in this congregation. You are a Jewish Christian. You are someone who's come from the Jewish faith. You have trusted Christ. You're wondering, well, what about Abraham? What about Moses? What about David? What about all those great figures of my past? Are they equal with Jesus? Are they greater than Jesus? What is going on? Well, Paul's first statement here is that Abraham comes, he meets Melchizedek, and he blesses him, he honors him with a tithe. We read that in verses 1 and 2. Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything to Melchizedek. And later we read in verse 7, it is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. What is Paul saying? He's making it clear. Abraham honors Melchizedek with a tithe, and Melchizedek blesses Abraham. The superior always blesses the inferior. And this hand grenade that Paul lets off in this congregation simply makes it clear that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Hey friends, I don't know, is there a Northern Ireland figure that we could think of along those lines? In a few weeks' time, their 100 years anniversary since the Easter Rising will be celebrated. And for many in our land, you mention the name Patrick Pearse, and they will look all misty-eyed and remember great days. On another side of the community in Northern Ireland, you mention King Billy, and suddenly we're ready for marching and getting our bowler hats on, and you know what we're like. Paul comes and he takes one of the greatest figures from these people's lives and he says, do you know what? Melchizedek is greater than him. Do you know what? Do you know Father Abraham, who had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham? Melchizedek is greater than Father Abraham. And Paul goes on and he makes it clear to these guys as well. Do you know what else? Melchizedek is greater than the Levites. Who were the Levites? Well, they were the priests in the Old Testament. From the tribe of Levi, they were the ones whose responsibility was to lead the people in worship of God. And Paul says here, not only was Melchizedek greater than Abraham, but he was greater than even the Levites. We read in verse 9 that one might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Or in other words, Levi hadn't been born yet. The priesthood hadn't been set up yet, but Levi was still in the loins of Abraham. Abraham honors Melchizedek. Melchizedek blesses Abraham. Therefore, Melchizedek is greater than Abraham and Levi. And immediately we're thinking, well, Scott, that's all right, but we're not Jewish believers. We're not coming out of that place. We don't worry about who's greater, Abraham, Levi, Melchizedek, Moses. None of those things really concern us. But what Paul wants these individuals to see and what he wants us to realize, whether we're concerned about Father Abraham or not, is that Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Melchizedek is a little glimpse of the Jesus who was to come. Melchizedek shows us in shadow what Jesus is going to be like. And so Paul is making it clear to these people, do you see all your heroes, all these great men of the faith? Do you see Abraham, and do you see the Levitic priesthood, and do you see King David and Moses and the angels and Joshua and all these names crop up throughout the book of Hebrews? Do you see all of these people, and do you see Melchizedek? None of them compare to Jesus. None of them could tie the laces off his shoes. You may think that Abraham is great, but Melchizedek is greater. Melchizedek points us to Christ, who is the greatest of all. My friends, that is the reality. Still today in 2016, it is the grand theme of the Bible. If we're looking for other saviors, we will not find them. If we're looking for other paths to go down, they will all be dead ends. If we are trusting in mortal men and kings and queens and princes who cannot save, they will disappoint us compared to Jesus. And Paul wants to tell these people about Melchizedek because he wants to tell them about Christ, and he wants to show them again that this Jesus who he proclaims is absolutely 100% supreme, glorious, wonderful. In the past few days, we have started the discussion about coming in or out of Europe. And you'll hear more about that from now to the end of June, when once again we go to the polls to vote. But friends, that is a big question, and we could talk about it all day, and the ins and the outs, and the good and the bad of both camps. We could do that, and no doubt by the end of June, you will be bored senseless by all the debates. But friends, the reality is that is not the big question of the day. It never is. If we live until we're 100, the question remains, what do we think of Christ? And Paul, for these people in the book of Hebrews, wanted to underline the fact that for him, this apostle, what he thinks of Christ is everything. In Philippians, he would go on to say that he counts everything as rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. He counts everything as loss compared to Christ. Nothing else matters or compares to Christ. And so to these Hebrews, he says, think of Abraham, and think of the Levites, and think of Melchizedek, and realize that they don't come close to this Jesus. Melchizedek was a type of Christ. Melchizedek was one who was meant to point people forward to the real Christ, the true Christ, who was coming in the line of Melchizedek, full of grace and mercy and peace. And we see that in Melchizedek's life. Paul opens the chapter by saying, Melchizedek was the king of Salem, or Jerusalem, as it would later be called. He was priest of the Most High God. And even in his name, and even in these titles, we catch a wee glimpse of Jesus. You break down the name, Melchizedek, and you get the truth that he is king. Melchi, that is the Hebrew word. And he is the king of righteousness, Zedek. So who else is the king of righteousness? It is Jesus. And more than that, he is the king of Salem, or the king of peace. The king of peace. And who else is the prince of peace? It is Jesus. And we see a wee glimpse there. We're not looking to Melchizedek. We are looking to the future king of righteousness and peace who is to come. And more than that, says Paul in verse 3, Melchizedek is without father or mother or genealogy. He had neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues as a priest forever. And that's one of those verses that you read and you think, well, is Melchizedek like a ghost? Is he some mysterious spiritual figure? He doesn't have family. He doesn't have a family tree. He doesn't die. But folks, what Paul is pointing us to there is when you go back to Genesis and you read that book, you read about everybody's mother and father. You read about everybody's family tree. You read about this one begetting that one and begetting this one. And it's there for all the world to see. It's important that you know your origins. But Melchizedek kind of just appears. And then he disappears. Paul doesn't say this guy was born unnaturally, or he's a ghost, or he's some angel. Just makes it clear that in Genesis you can look for his mother and father and you'll not find them. There's no record of Melchizedek's birth. And you might look to find out about how he died, but you'll not find it. There's no record of his death. And so in that sense, Melchizedek continues as a priest forever. And he points us forward then, does he not, to Jesus, who we know is born not in the normal way. We know of Jesus who comes and he is born to a virgin. And we know about Jesus who dies, but but rises again, that just does not happen. And we know that today Jesus is still our great high priest over the house of God forever. And so in these few verses in Genesis 14, and these few wee glimpses of this strange figure Melchizedek, we are pointed forward even in the opening chapters of the Bible. And in Genesis 14, every sign on the road says, look forward to Christ. Look who is coming. And if you think Melchizedek is worthy of your tithe, wait till you see the one who is to come. If you think Melchizedek is the king of peace and righteousness, wait till you see the one who is to come. Friends, that is the message of the Scriptures, constantly pointing us forward to Jesus. And today, friends, we can be utterly, utterly confident in our Savior. It's lovely to note that when Melchizedek comes and he meets with Abram, what does he bring? Genesis 14 tells us that he brings out bread and wine. Do you see that? Is there something reminding you of something else somewhere? The Lord's table, maybe. Do you see how the Scripture always is one and it is complete and it isn't contradictory? Melchizedek brings bread and wine. My friends, God willing, this time next week, we will have brought bread and wine once again to the Lord's table. And once again, we will think about the sacrifice of Christ the King. My friends, today, if you do not feel particularly loved in this world, today, if you are a Christian and you are struggling to keep going, you know about the perseverance of the saints, but you don't think you've got it. You think you're about to fall by the wayside. Does God hear your prayers? Is Christ the high priest for you? Jesus, the greater Melchizedek, the greater high priest, he comes to his people this morning and he brings bread and wine. He brings his body and his blood and he says, look, I am for you. My children, I am for you. This is Paul's message to these people. Jesus, greater than the Levites, greater than Abraham, greater than Melchizedek, a priest forever. A priest forever, standing in the gap between us and God forever. My friends, Jesus Christ this morning is your high priest by faith, and he is standing for you forever. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, Paul makes it clear. It was for our sake that God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ is this perfect once and for all sacrifice. And if we are struggling to believe that, then may the Spirit of God this morning write this on your hearts, that you are valued, that you are loved, that you are precious in his sight, so much so that he brought the bread and the wine of his body and his blood, and he died at Calvary for you. My friends, don't doubt that. Not once. Doesn't matter how dark the clouds are. Doesn't matter the turmoil in your life. It doesn't matter how many times you think your prayers are unanswered. Jesus is our high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, and he stands today interceding on our behalf. Wow. His sacrifice. Absolutely perfect. Absolutely done. It is finished, he cried. And it still is. It still is. And just as Melchizedek brings this bread and wine, and just as his name points us to the fact that he is the king of righteousness, Melchizedek, king of Salem, he is the king of righteousness, Jesus himself brings us his perfect righteousness. My friends, I don't know if you've ever stood awkwardly before somebody or you've ever had that feeling of dread that you were going to have to somehow defend yourself to someone or you're going to have to give an account for what you had done. Just the other week, I had been asked by Petra to go along to Friends to speak at their SU. And I went in, and I don't know if you've ever been to Friends, but it's a lovely school. I went into the wee reception area, and a lovely wee lady says to me, who are you? Scott Woodburn here to speak at SU. And says, just wait over there. And I am now 36, almost 20 years out of Grosvenor. And as I sat there at 36, there to talk to the SU about Jesus, not to defend myself or because it was in any trouble, but as I was sitting there, felt like I was 16 again. You felt like Johnny Lockett was about to come out and say, right, Woodburn, I'll speak to you now in the office, you know, and you're psyching yourself up. And the wee woman must have noticed it because she walked past me and says, have they left you on your own there? I said, somebody's coming to get me. It's okay. It says, I'll take you up if you want. And I thought, praise the Lord, because I'm a wee bit scared. If that awful feeling. Thankfully, Petra came and rescued me, and everything was okay, but there was that sense of dread, and I thought, Scott, what's wrong with you? You're not in trouble. You don't go to this school. Would you relax? Then I realized I'd stolen one of the laptops out of the office, and it was in my bag, you know. But folks, if you know that feeling, imagine the day when you will stand before the Lord. Imagine the day that you will be called to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. I ask you this morning, with that in mind, how do you feel? How do you feel? And sometimes as Christians, when we think of that day, we tremble with fear and with dread. And we think, maybe God's going to get it wrong. He's not going to see our name on the list. He's going to somehow make a mistake. And what if he judges me for all those things that I did 10 years ago, and I'm so sorry for them, but what if he hasn't forgiven me my sin? And what if I'm going to suddenly be sent to the other place? And what if I can't defend myself? Friends, that day is not going to be like that, because Christ Jesus, our great high priest, is for you. His sacrifice is enough. And if Melchizedek was the king of righteousness, think about how glorious the righteousness of Christ is. You have been declared righteous by God himself. We call that justification. By grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, you are justified, and Christ's righteousness has been imputed to your account. Your account has been filled up with the righteousness of Christ. And so when you stand before your Lord, you can stand there with confidence. Not because you are the best sinner that's ever been, or the best Christian that's ever been going, but because of Jesus. Greater than Levi, greater than Abraham, greater than Melchizedek, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect righteousness, and the king of perfect peace. Because if Melchizedek was the king of Salem, today we trust in the Prince of Peace. And I know you may not believe this, but friends, if you are outside the kingdom of God, then you are at war with God. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, then you are an enemy of Christ. And yet the glorious good news is, by faith in Jesus, we are at peace with God. We read in Colossians 1, through Jesus, God was reconciling to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Making peace by the blood of his cross. Friends, see today, what a comfort and joy to know that we are not at war with God. We're maybe at war with our next door neighbor. Maybe they took our lawnmower 3 years ago and they've never brought it back. Maybe Granny didn't remember us when it came to Christmas, and we're not friends with Granny, but through faith in Christ, we are at peace. Perfect, lasting, forever, eternal peace with God. No wonder Paul says this Jesus is supreme. And if these believers were looking to Levi or to Abraham or to Moses or even to Melchizedek, they were looking in the wrong place. Instead, they should have been looking to the one Melchizedek was pointing to Jesus, the great high priest forever and ever and ever. Amen. And friends, I preach this sermon today as an encouragement to your souls, because if anyone has ever told you the Christian life is easy, then they're absolutely wrong. It isn't. And you know that this morning. You feel it in your bones. You wonder where God is taking you when it comes to school and work after school. You wonder what God is doing when it comes to your family who seem to just be a mess and nothing ever gets better. And what about work? What about the rumors of redundancies and the rumors of pay decreases and all that? What if that comes? Is God interested in that? what about life and illness and old age? And you feel it in your bones. You're 86 and you climbed out of bed this morning and you felt like just collapsing back into bed. You know that time is marching on and you are not long for this world. Where is God in all of that? Where is Christ when you meet the storms of life? Well, friends, as we have sung today, the truth is he is our lighthouse. The truth is he is the captain of our ship. As we sang last week, he is the anchor of our soul. The truth is, in Christ alone, we are absolutely secure on the rock, no matter what. Because this Jesus, the greater Melchizedek, is the Prince of Peace, the King of Righteousness, the one finished, complete sacrifice, a high priest forever, and he is for you. Friends, no matter what you face today or what you're going through, lift your eyes to Christ. Nobody else compares to him. No matter who your heroes are in this world or spiritually, no one compares to Jesus. And he helps the farmer, and he helps the retiree, and he helps the grandfather and the mother and the son and the schoolgirl and the guy starting out in his life and his career and the university student and the person struggling with illness and the new elder and the musicians and the choir and the minister. He helps us all, and he is for every one of us. And friends, who is this mystery man? Who alone can be trusted? I thank God that the mask is off, the curtain is torn, and who do we see? We see Jesus. That's who we see. And I pray in the days to come, when we are looking through the darkness, when we're trying to make sense of the fog that has descended on us, I pray that he will make a path through it and our eyes will be fixed once again on the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who is called Christ and who is for us. Who alone can see us? Who alone forgives us our sins? Who alone pays the price at Calvary perfectly, completely? Who alone stands for us? Who is this mystery man? It is Jesus. It is Jesus. And who is the one who is greater than Moses and greater than Joshua and greater than Levi and Abraham and Melchizedek and even the angels? Who is the great high priest over the house of God? It is Jesus. The veil has been lifted. The curtain has been torn in two. Our eyes have been opened. The fog has cleared. The lighthouse has shone in the darkness of night. And who do we see? Who is the mystery man? It is Jesus. It is Jesus. And friends, today I pray that you will trust him and that you will cling to him and that you will look to him and you will never allow your sight to shift from him. Because these men and women in Hebrews needed to know, as do we, that he is able to save us to the uttermost. His sacrifice was absolutely perfect. His righteousness has been credited to our account by faith. And Jesus is the one, the Prince of Peace, who says to us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." And so, brothers and sisters, children of God, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Today, we can leave this place, and we can go in peace, because his name is Jesus. Amen.